So our passage this morning comes from the life of Elijah. Most of us, when we think of Elijah, we think of a very great man, and he was a powerful prophet, and he was. And yet Elijah, in all of this, still went through a period of discouragement. And so this morning I want us to learn what we can from his life about discouragement. And so we'll look through parts of this chapter here in 1 Kings 19 to get started, and then we'll look at this time of discouragement in Elijah's life and see what we can learn. So starting in verse 1, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And as he lay down and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave, and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenants, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left. And they seek my life to take it away. And he said, Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I, only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said unto him, Go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi thou thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abimaholoah shall thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him." So Elijah said, "It is enough." And that's our title. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray that we would learn from this passage today, that we would learn about discouragement, to be watching for it, and Lord, what the solution is through your word. And I pray that we would grow. But we would not allow the devil to use discouragement to keep us from what we should be doing for you. So please, I pray the Holy Spirit would use the word to teach and grow us today. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So what I'd like us to focus on this morning are, and I didn't do this on purpose, it just came out that way, where each part of the outline starts with the same letter. But first we're going to look at the causes of discouragement. Then we're going to look at the consequences of discouragement, and then the cures for discouragement. So if you've never been discouraged, this isn't for you, but I'm sure we all have. and we can learn from what happened in Elijah's life. So I'd like first to talk about the causes. What caused this discouragement in Elijah's life? There's five subpoints for each point. How about that? So there's going to be five causes, five consequences, and five cures for discouragement. So first we see the causes of discouragement. And the first one is sometimes discouragement can come after a great victory. Now, you might say, what does that have to do with it? Well, life is filled with highs and lows, is it not?
Yes, it is.
And if you've ever been in a situation where you had just this most amazing experience, this amazing time of victory in your Christian life, what usually came after was a bit of a down. And that's how it usually works. We didn't read it yet, but in chapter 18, what had just occurred was an amazing victory in the life of Elijah. God brought down fire from heaven in front of all these heathen, licked up the water, destroyed the altar, and then Elijah, he definitely wasn't a wimp, went down by the riverside and with his own sword killed 450 prophets of Baal. Wow. You talk about a great victory. Now we can glance at it here at chapter 18, look at verse 37. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is the Lord, the God. The Lord, he is the God. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let them not one escape. And they took him, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. I call that a great victory. Seeing fire come down from heaven and see all of Israel say, the Lord, he is the God, the Lord, he is the God. This is the same Israel that had not been worshiping the Lord. But what came after? He just killed 450 prophets. One woman threatens his life and he runs. Now, of course, she was Jezebel, but still. The Bible says, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Oftentimes when we go through these times of victory, we lose sight of where the victory came from. And if we're not careful, discouragement can come after. And so one of the causes of discouragement, thank you so much, Brother James, often can just be, we've just had a great victory in our lives, and God's decided that next needs to come a bit of a downtime. And so that happened here in Elijah's life. But secondly, discouragement can often come when we're tired. We're tired physically, we're tired emotionally. If you look in verse 42 of chapter 18, it says, Ahab went up east to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. In verse 46, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. God actually worked a miracle, and Elijah was able to run faster than a chariot. Imagine that. I'd say that's pretty fast. Too bad somebody wasn't there to record it, because it'd probably still be the world record. And then in 19, we saw in verse 3, he went for his life and went to and left his servant there. In verse 4, chapter 19, he went a day's journey to the wilderness. So he's now slain 450 prophets with his own sword. That'd make you a bit tired, killing 450 people with a sword. It's one thing to do it with a gun, but with a sword, imagine. And then he just ran ahead of Ahab and beat him to Jezreel to give his prophecy. And now he just walked a day's journey into the wilderness. And if we're not careful, sometimes we can just get absolutely worn out. And the devil will use that to bring discouragement. You know, there was a time in the life of the disciples where this happened. And Jesus said in Matthew 6:31, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. Jesus knew the importance of having that time of rest, because it was getting a bit too much for the disciples. And so not only can it be caused by a great victory or be the consequence of coming after a great victory, but even when we get tired. But thirdly, in verse 1, we see that it can be caused by opposition. Ahab told Jezebel, verse 1, all that Elijah had done and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel wasn't too happy because these were her prophets and Elijah's just killed 450 of them. Imagine that. And we know how wicked Jezebel was and also how powerful she was. Ahab might have been the king, but she was the woman that controlled the king. And it says in verse 2, Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, let the gods do to me and more also, if I may not make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow. She had sent a messenger to let, by tomorrow you're going to be dead, because I'm going to have you killed. And sometimes discouragement can come when we face opposition. Well, you know what? If you choose to stand for the Lord, you're going to face opposition. 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But when it happens, we need to stop and say, the Lord is on my side. Psalm 118, verse 6, I will not fear. What can man do unto me? But Elijah wasn't thinking that way at this time. Instead, he ran from Jezebel. So we see discouragement can come from after a great victory, when we're overly tired, when we face opposition. But as we see in verse 3, it can even come when we're afraid. It can come from fear. It says, and when he saw that, verse 3, he arose and went for his life. He wasn't running because it was God's will for him to run. He was running because he was afraid of Jezebel. But then the Bible say the fear of man bringeth a snare. In Proverbs 29:25 or 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us the spirit of fear. But fear can lead to discouragement. But the biggest thing that can lead to discouragement is wrong thinking, number 5. So it can come from a great victory, from being tired, from opposition, and from fear. But look down in verse 10, and he said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenants, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I only am left. Guess what? That wasn't true. Because God told him later it wasn't true. But that's his perspective on things. Didn't Israel just all say, the Lord, he is the God? Didn't God just use this miracle and Elijah to bring Israel back to God so that they would say, God is the Lord, and we're going to stop worshiping Baal? And here's Elijah saying, there's no one left. I'm the only one that cares about God in the whole world. And the devil uses our thoughts against us all the time. And we start thinking wrongly about ourselves, about our situation. But doesn't the Bible say to cast down imaginations, bringing every thought of the obedience of Christ in 2 Corinthians 10:5? We've got to be careful when the devil does this. We're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, we're told in Romans 12:2. So Elijah went through this time of discouragement. He had just had a great victory, but he had just overdone himself physically and spiritually. He was facing opposition from Jezebel. He was afraid of Jezebel. And now he's thinking completely wrongly about the situation. Thinking that that's it. I'm the only one left in the entire world that cares about Jehovah. And he was wrong. So those are the five causes. Look at the consequences that we see of discouragement. And if you've ever faced discouragement, you've probably seen these consequences. The first thing we do, verse 3, it says, he went for his life. We run from our problems. Rather than facing them with God's help, admitting that we have a problem, admitting there is an issue, admitting that we're discouraged, and facing up to it, we run. Where did God tell Elijah to run from Jezebel? Did God say, okay, after you kill the prophets and Jezebel threatens your life, I want you to run? God never told him to run. And the Bible says, as us as Christians, watch ye, 1 Corinthians 16:13, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong. Never are we told to run from our problems. And we're going to have many problems in our lives, but we're never told to turn and run. We're told to stand. Even Ephesians 6, stand therefore. It says, stand ye, stand. Don't run from your problems. But he did. The second thing we see that results is typically isolation. When we get discouraged, what do? But we withdraw. And that's exactly what Elijah did. Look at verse 3. And he saw that. He rose, went for his life, came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, left his servant there. He himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. He went out in the middle of the wilderness all by himself and sat down by this tree. Where did God tell him to do that? To go get alone. And then later, and down in verse 9, he's in a cave by himself. As we'll see later when we talk about the cures for discouragement, the worst thing you can do when you're discouraged is isolation. But that's what people tend to do. They'd rather suffer in private rather than share their burden with someone else. And doesn't God say that we're to bear one another's burdens? What if we don't know about the burden? How can we bear it? What if you don't tell us you're discouraged? How can we pray for you? How can we encourage you if you keep it to yourself and isolate yourself from God's people? I think that's one of the reasons why God said, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, Hebrews 10:25, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching, as things are going to get worse, as the devil gets more and more control of this world. God doesn't say to withdraw. He says, I want you to assemble more. So much the more, he says. Because we need each other. So isolation is never the answer. But typically what people do, they run from their problems, they isolate themselves, and then, verse 4, the third consequence is negativity. Look what it says. It is enough now, O Lord, take my life, for I am not better than my fathers. Lord, just kill me. Would you call that negativity? I certainly would. Where did God say, Elijah, I'm done with you, go ahead and ask for your death? It's one of the greatest prophets that ever lived. And he still has more to do. As we see, the Bible says, do all things without murmurings. We're not to complain. We're not to stop and say, woe is me, and get all negative. I mean, when you have suicidal tendencies, that's pretty negative. And Elijah says, take my life, which people often do. They get this negativity when they get discouraged. God says, rejoice in the Lord always. That's the time when we do need, as we just sang earlier, great is thy faithfulness, it is well with my soul. That's the times when we need to stop and take account of what we have in the Lord, rather than get all down to negative. So people tend to run from their problems, they tend to isolate themselves as Elijah did, they tend to get all negative in their thought life. And then of course, verse 10, then comes the self-pity. He said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. I could just see the big frown. I can see the tears. Lord, I've just been so jealous for you. It's all been for you, God. And look what I got out of it. And then he goes on to say, Israel, they just don't care. They've thrown down their altars. They've given up your covenant. They've slain your prophets. And I'm the only one left. Woe is me. It's just me. There were probably about, who knows, 500 million people in the world at this point. But only Elijah cared anything about Jehovah. Self-pity. But you know, God says we're not to please ourselves. God says in the last times men will be lovers of their own selves. We need to be careful about self-pity because it's not in the scriptures. But that tends to be what happens. They run from their problems, they get isolated, they get negative, start having this self-pity, and then it finishes verse 10 with, wait for it, exaggeration. Exaggeration about how bad the problem really is. Notice, I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Well, who's the they? From what I can see, it's just Jezebel. Because the 450 prophets, Elijah, you just killed yourself. So they're not after you. Israel, just acknowledge that Jehovah is God, which makes you God's prophet. So why would they want to kill you? It's just Jezebel. But he says, basically, everybody hates me. Nobody loves me. Never heard any of that before, have we? Nobody likes me. Everybody thinks I'm terrible. Woe is me. I'm just going to go eat some worms and die. But this is what happens with discouragement. He says, there's none left. God later is going to say, guess what? There's at least 7,000 just in Israel that still love me and still want to serve me and have not served Baal. 7,000. You're wrong, Elijah. You're way off base. You're not the only one left. But this is what happens. The devil comes in and we start thinking it's really, really worse than it is. So what are the causes? The great victory, being tired, opposition, fear, and wrong thinking. What are the consequences? We run from our problems. We isolate ourselves. We get all negative. We start having some self-pity. And then we start exaggerating how bad it really is. It's just horrible. There's not anybody left on the earth that cares about me. Woe is me. So let's get positive and talk about the cure. And God is the one that cured Elijah, which is what I love about this chapter. God stepped in and dealt with his discouragement the way God does things and got him out of his slump, if you will, and he went on and served the Lord. And that's wonderful. So what can we learn? First of all, we see verses 5 and 6, nourishment. Look at that. God sent an angel to the earth to just for one purpose, and that was to feed Elijah. Can you imagine that? And we're talking a powerful angel that we see in the Old Testament killed 185,000 people. One angel did by himself. They're very powerful. God sent an angel just to feed Elijah. Cooked him a little meal. I could just hear the conversation in heaven. Hey, your job, Gabriel Jr., is I want you to go down and I want you to cook a little meal for Elijah. What? I'm an angel. You want me to go cook a meal for one guy? Can you imagine? But God knew that Elijah was tired, he was wasted, and he needed some nourishment. And so that's exactly what happened, verse 5. And he lay and slept under a juniper tree. Then an angel touched him and said, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. God didn't come down and rebuke him yet. Nothing. He just said, here, eat, drink, and rest. Later on, eat, drink, and rest. And sometimes we just need some physical and some spiritual nourishment. And remember, God said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Hebrews 13:5. Had God forsaken Elijah? Absolutely not. He was doing the opposite here and caring so much about him that he sent an angel to feed him. And so the first thing we need is nourishment. What do we need after that? Verse 7. The angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great. God's about to send him on another journey. In other words, Elijah, I want you to rely on me because I'm going to help you go on this next big journey. And so the other cure, if you will, is we need to stop with the self-pity and the exaggeration and start believing and trusting that God is with us and that God knows what we can handle. And it's not a mistake that whatever led us to the discouragement happened in our lives, but we need to stop and realize it was part of God's plan. And rather than get all down, and we need to stop and say, Lord, I know that I can get through this with your help, and I know you still have plans for me. I mean, doesn't God say in 1 Corinthians 10, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man? But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. So God knows what we're able to bear, doesn't he? In advance. But will with the temptation also make a way to escape. God knows all these things. And God wants Elijah to know it. And he wants us to know it when we're discouraged, that we can believe and trust the Lord no matter what. What's the third thing we see? My favorite. God's still small voice. Isn't that beautiful? He goes from here to a cave, and God comes down and brings this giant wind. But he's not on the wind. Then he comes down and brings an amazing earthquake. But he's not on the earthquake. And then this huge fire goes by, and he's not on the fire. He's in the still small voice. And if you're ever in a time of discouragement, you need God's still small voice. Amen. Right here. It says, Romans 15:4, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. We all have hope. We all have an unbelievable hope that one day we're going to spend forever with the Lord in heaven. And that hope is all written down and given to us. And the times when we're discouraged, we need to stop. And yeah, we might need some physical and spiritual nourishment. We need to change our thinking to realize God has a plan and that God's not forsaken us. But we need to also just stop and listen to God's still small voice. And it's in here. God isn't going to speak to us directly like he did to Elijah, but he will speak to us through his word. And he lives in us and will guide us as we study it. But then the last two cures are very important. So not only do we need nourishment and to realize God had a plan in this, and not only do we need to hear the small voice in God's word, but we need to get back up and get back to work. Look what he says in verse 15. The Lord said unto him, go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And then later on, he gives a very detailed prophecy about what's going to happen in the future. But he says, I want you to go anoint this person to be king of Israel. I want you to go anoint this person to be the king of Judah. I want you to go anoint this guy named Elisha, who's eventually going to take over from you now that you're getting a bit older. But I want you to go. I want you to get up and go. Okay, I've sent the angel and he's fed you. And I've now come down and spoken to you personally in my still small voice. Now it's time to get up and go. And that's usually when we're discouraged, that's the last thing we want to do. But it's the thing we need to do. You know, show me in the Bible where it says we're here to serve ourselves. Doesn't it say we're here to serve others? How, you know, by love, Galatians 5:13, but by love serve one another. Philippians 2:4, look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. When we're discouraged, we become very self-focused. And that's why we need to now become others-focused. And that's what God is saying. Elijah, okay, you've had your time. I've given you some food. I've given you some encouragement. Now get off your rear end and get out there and get back to work and do what I called you to do and be my prophet. And I want you to go here and do this. And I want you to go to here and do this. And I want you to go to here and do this. Get back to work. And then we didn't read this far, but the fifth cure is fellowship. Look at verse 19. So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, go back again, for what have I done to thee? And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. Elijah has an assistant now. And Elisha spent the first part of his ministry ministering to Elijah. So now Elijah is spending all this time with Elisha, teaching him. This is what's going to happen. This is all what you're going to face. Elisha, I mean, this guy is plowing as one of the oxen. So he's not a wimp. And he's not afraid to ask God big, because later on, when Elijah knows he's about to leave through the chariot of fire, Elisha says, I just want one thing. I just want to be twice the prophet that you are. You know the story. And if you study it out, Elisha did exactly double the number of miracles that Elijah did. So he wasn't afraid to ask big. But the Bible says, exhort one another daily while it's called today. Fellowship is a great cure for discouragement. Getting around God's people, being honest, and letting them encourage you from God's word. The Bible says that our God of comfort, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he says he comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. One of the reasons why God allows us to go through these times is so then we can help someone else when they go through the same thing. Fellowship. So nourishment, believing that God had a purpose in it, listening to God's still small voice, getting back to work, serving the Lord, and fellowship. So thank you, Elijah. And thank you, Lord, for recording this for us so we can learn so much about discouragement. I mean, Elijah would probably be considered one of the top 10 greatest men in the Old Testament. I'm sure we'd all agree with this. But he went through a time of discouragement. And God kindly recorded it for us so that we could learn. And I hope this will be a help to us. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you that you've recorded this.